going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and rip it. Just one of our Tolos just left, Kevin.
Yes.
I shook
his hand while I did that intro.
Peace-a-thon will be coming back up here and the day before Thanksgiving yet again. And he won the Martin House Brew with Martin House and make his own beer with those guys. And he brought up some of the cans. And it was, I'm looking forward to getting a taste of it later.
You say later. You haven't had a taste of it already?
I have not. If you want me to start cracking one open.
I do not.
It'll make the questions for Steven at 11:30 even more fun.
I do not.
You know me, dude. That's what people come up to me, Kevin. How many times when we're at Buffalo Wild Wings, people come up and they're like, Corey, you want a beer?
Yeah.
My first thing is, dude, once I open a beer, I start cussing. And I don't want to get fired, and I don't want to get FCC violated. So I appreciate it, but I got to wait until after the show.
All right. So a lot of people talking about Shador Sanders. Shador Sanders is now the betting favorite to be the first pick of the second round. I can't say that is particularly surprising, whether that means there's going to be a trade to go up into that spot or, you know, perhaps not, but the betting odds are now go with Shador at 33.
You are very adamant. How consistent, how accurate are the betting odds?
Betting odds are on point. The only one they really missed on at the top of the draft yesterday was pick 5, and I'm sure that trade instantly
changes everything.
And I didn't get a chance to see the updated betting odds, but like the pre-draft betting odds that day, they had it pretty much all on point.
The fans at my Pluckers last night that were Cleveland fans. Dude, there are so many Cleveland fans. I know we talk about the Cowboys.
We had a lot of Falcons fans at ours.
There are so many, but they were furious that they went with Mason Graham.
Who did they?
I don't know who they wanted.
Okay.
Like, they just did not want Mason. They were very disappointed.
Okay.
I was like, dang, I wouldn't be.
So I wanted to throw this out there. The top liabilities for Vegas last night were Ashton Jeanty or Jackson Dart at pick 3, Tet McMillan at pick 8. So obviously you avoided all concerns there. How did the public do though? 91% of the public went over on Shador Sanders at 14.5. And by the way, over really literally in this sense does mean follow the numbers. Like that means he'll get taken higher or not higher at a later pick than 14.5. All right. So the public hit on that. A lot of people thought Omarion Hampton was going to go pick 20, but the over-under was 20.5. The people said, go ahead and take the over. Boom. Got that correct as well. Take the under on Kelvin Banks at 13.5. That felt like an easy one. Boom. That hit as well. However, 75% of the people had Mason Graham going lower than pick 7.5. And as you just pointed out, he did not. So that was a big loss for the public.
I get that, man. The public sometimes loses.
Yes.
So do the mock drafters.
The public. That is true. All right. Big night for the Giants. They get Jackson Dart. As expected, they go with Abdul Carter at pick number 3. Right after that, the Giants GM said that they are picking up the fifth-year contract option for Kevon Thibodeau. Can't say I'm that surprised by that. So the Giants were busy yesterday. Did you see Jahdae Barron's draft party?
Yes.
So for people who haven't seen it, he had a big, like a big party, like a lot of these people do if they're having a house party and stuff. He had a...
Would you rather be in the green room or would you
hold
rather...
that thought, okay, Corey right. Majors.
Great, I love it.
NFL draft overreaction to reality coming up at noon. That is an excellent question. We're on the same level with that.
Look at us.
They did a Bible study, including not just family members, but some of his former teammates all took part in the Bible study before the draft took place and before, obviously, huge night in the life, in
what,
his life.
What a good, what a cool use of your time.
You know, I do think
that,
that's
that is a really cool use of your time, especially when you got that many people around.
And he, of course, went at pick 20, which a lot of people had carved as the Omarion Hampton pick. All right. I know this is not about the draft, but probably worth noting. The NFL is going to release their schedule on May 14th. So, and this is maybe a question for another day. Do people love, at times, the nonsensical speculation more than the games itself? Because like you look at it, how much time, effort, debate goes into the NFL draft? And then the same thing, May 14th. Everybody, you can say you don't do it, but I think most everyone puts together their mock record.
Yeah, 17-0.
Yeah, okay, that's true. But other people might not be as bullish. But like sometimes I wonder, do people enjoy times like this better than the actual games? I think the Cowboys do. And like, because Jerry told us, hey, if we didn't have to play those pesky games, we'd be loving this.
Yeah. Yeah, probably so, because it's, Kevin, if you've ever like watched in Cuba, they, in the Dominican Republic, when they go to games and baseball games, they're like, those are insane crowds, right? We've seen that.
For sure.
But their favorite part is going to stand in the corner and arguing about baseball the next day.
Yes.
Like, that's their favorite part of it. That's what we do on a daily basis. And so, yes, the hypotheticals, the conversations about who's better and what's my team's going to do this, that's always fun. It's an absolute blast. I like the games more. I really do. I do too. Love the games more, but that is definitely a part that everybody gets excited about.
The Lions went ahead and exercised their 2026 options, not surprisingly, again, on Hayden Hutchinson and Jameson Williams. As a lot of people counted on going into this, the SEC and Big Ten, they dominated the first round. SEC and Big Ten accounted for 26 of the first round picks.
Dang.
That is incredible.
That is pretty impressive. And whether or not, you know, some of the A&M products deserved it or not, they still went. I'm just joking. A lot of people at my pluckers thought that that was a big reach and they didn't understand it. But
Walter Nolan counts for A&M.
Kevin, that the money's in the SEC.
For sure.
In college football, the money's there. The guys are gravitating towards it, not just because of the money, but the competition as well. The competition puts me at the peak of things. So that's where I do think that, like, that shouldn't be that much of a surprise that the talent pool is so much deeper in that area.
Now, this probably won't surprise you. The top prop bet for a team in a position. So the number one pick for the public yesterday was the Cowboys will draft a first round wide receiver, which again, we talked about that quite a bit. I can't say that that is particularly surprising or anything like that, but obviously that was a loss. So sometimes when we talk about fading the public, this is why you fade the public, because everyone's like, hey, Cowboys are going to draft a wide receiver. You know it. I know it. We all know it. And guess what?
Get the public drunk. Get them faded.
No, not...
One day I'm going to learn all the gambling terminologies, Kevin, I promise.
Fade the public essentially means whoever the public is betting in mass, bet the other way.
Okay.
And there are a lot of people out there who think you can make a lot of money.
So it is kind of get the public drunk and stay sober.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is they just think like sober public is just as bad.
Okay.
They're like, don't even worry about it. Look, this was tough yesterday. Shador Sanders, he tweeted out before the draft, I'm ready. I'm sorry, I'm paraphrasing. I'm ready for whatever's going to happen today. Mm-hmm. A lot of people quote tweeted that. We talked about how some people reveled in that. He followed up by saying not being picked in the first round is only going to add fuel to his fire.
It should.
For sure, like, right?
That's what it should do for, it did it for Randy Moss. You know, it should do that for every person that feels like they aren't getting what they deserve. And you know what? When you have two options. You either give up and quit, or you fight harder for the next time. And that's what I'm expecting from him. The other thing too is, what if he does land in the best possible scenario for him? Let's say he does. The Steelers are like, you know what? We got you. We got you in a different round, but we built a really good team for you. That's a good thing.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I'm sure we'll talk some more about the NFL draft, but also some AM on the FM.
You get to watch greatness one more time in your life. Who are you picking next on The Fan?
There it is. You heard it right here on 105.3 The Fan. Tyler Brooker said he and Shoddy were jamming out to Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody during the pre-draft meeting. They wanted to feel the heat with somebody.
Stop it.
And clearly that worked out. We got Stephen Jones coming up at 11:30. But right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. Sean Sharif probably isn't feeling like it's one for me and Peyton, zero today.
Oh, man. He was in the bathroom and he was like, oh, what a coincidence. You two Nimrods come into the bathroom today.
You'll never come into this bathroom until today.
Yeah, to pull the curtain all the way back, I've washed my hands 3 times now, and my arm still smells like chocolate icing.
Oh, bad thing.
So, yeah, I've paid the price for it.
Have you licked your arm at all because of that?
Yeah, well,
because
lick it up.
It's also got, soap residue on it, too, so that's going to be a weird flavor combination of, whatever guava soap that is or whatever the hell, plus chocolate icing. That's probably going to be a little off-putting, so
I get you.
I'm going to avoid that. But
off-putting. I get what you're doing. That's a dessert joke.
Smarter than the average bear. You know that, Kevin. It's time for AM on the FM. I asked the question of the day heading into break because I am going to Friday Night SmackDown. Corey, SmackDown.
Nice!
Tonight in Fort Worth. All right. In Fort Worth at Dickies Arena. And one of the only announced things for the show tonight, which I love not knowing what's going to happen ahead of time, is John Cena will be there, and it will be more than likely, because the rest of the calendar year hasn't been announced yet for WWE's tour, it will more than likely be his last time in DFW as an active WWE talent. So the question of the day today is, if you got the chance to watch greatness in your mind and anybody's mind one more time, you got to be there one more time to see them. You knew they were retiring, because nobody does this like John Cena's doing it. He straight up said, at the end of 2025, I will be done. And I'm letting you guys know that now. Usually athletes are kind of touch and go. It's, they feel it out and they wake up one day and they're like, I don't have it anymore. Or an injury happens. He's saying, no, I'm deciding. So if you kind of got that same timeline for someone and you could go back and watch them one more time, knowing it would be your last, and you could really take it all in.
Are they going to be special that night, or is it just like they're going to look old?
No guarantees.
Okay.
Ooh.
No guarantees.
I like this person that said Wayne Gretzky. Like that's, and they said in his prime, so they made a guarantee there, because in his prime he was fantastic.
I think it would have been, I think I would go back to Kareem. Because I saw Kareem with the Lakers when he was still a good player, but we had transitioned to you're not the leader anymore. So I would love to go back and see like the Milwaukee Bucks Kareem or something along those lines.
Yeah, that would be nice, dude. Like, because by the time I knew Kareem, was the posters at the book fair of the Lakers. And I was like, who is this other guy? I know Magic Johnson and Kareem, but who's that other guy there? And they were like, that's Byron Scott. And you're like, who's that? But Kareem would be a fantastic one, because he changed the game at that position too. He was the dominant factor there.
Oh my God.
I probably would rock. Can't decide here, because if it was at their best, Tiger would be very interesting. Jack would be very interesting in golf, but Nolan, I would love to see Nolan one more time. I feel like he could still throw 105 right now, but
Tiger at the golf course or Tiger at the Waffle House?
Maybe both, Kevin.
Okay.
Maybe both.
Okay.
But yeah, Nolan would definitely be one more time to see that kind of pitching experience, the power and the ability to throw you off with his off-speed stuff.
Interesting. I like where we're going so far. 877-881-1053 to answer the question of the day today. I've seen this a couple times already, but from the 817, Muhammad Ali.
Oh, that's a good one.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
The 214 does say Tiger, but the 763 says Kobe. I see Derek Jeter from the 940, Nolan Ryan from the 585. Mine was going to be Dirk, but then I realized we kind of knew he was kind of done at the end of that season.
We observed that all happen.
And I did see him, I think, like the last 2 weeks of the season. So I kind of knew.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Dude, this was going to be my last time. For me personally, if it's not Dirk, because I already knew, honestly, Tom Brady. Because when I know you don't like that, but I hated him when he played. I absolutely hated him. And then when he actually retired and we knew he was done for good.
You appreciated him.
I was like, dang. And then that first week of the NFL kicked off and he wasn't playing. And I was like, this kind of sucks. You know, just because, you know, growing up, that was the GOAT for me. You know, it was Kobe. It was Tom Brady. You know, in baseball, it was really just Texas Rangers for me. I didn't care about anybody else. I was such a Rangers homer growing up. But, you know, like if I could have gone to one of the last few games at home for Adrian Beltre, that would have been cool. I just didn't have the money to do it because everybody kind of knew for him too.
Yeah.
The end is near. So let's go ahead and pack this house for him.
You know what? I actually, because you just said that, I want to totally change my answer. Ooh. This is going to sound weird. Luka with the Mavericks.
Stop it.
Like, I'm not, I swear I'm not doing a bit. I honestly wish I could go back and be like, hey, I know you think I'm insane, but this is going to be one of the last times you ever see Luka play for the Mavericks and like really enjoy it. Because I enjoy watching him, but I wasn't like, oh, I better watch this game or else I'll never see him play for my team again.
Yeah, I guess Barry Sanders does fall in that role too, because we get to watch these great highlights of Barry.
Yeah,
and you hated him whenever you had to, had to play him, but we didn't know his career was going to be cut short the way that it was, in the drastic way that it was too.
Yeah.
See, from the 214, Babe Ruth, a lot of Barry Sanders in agreement there. Troy Aikman from the 469. Oh, this is interesting. Non-sports. From the 214, a Michael Jackson concert.
Oh, yeah, when he was at the height of his powers.
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Kids yet.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, that would probably be preferred if I'm going to go see him.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought about Rage Against the Machine because I think it would be amazing to see them in person.
You know what? If we're going the music route, Queen.
Oh, yeah.
Like the original group of Queen.
Second time, Alec, you changed my mind. I would also like to change my answer to Queen. Because I still want to see Queen with Adam Lambert.
Yes.
And I can't even imagine.
He's fantastic.
Freddie Mercury out there.
Imagine being at Live Aid.
Oh my gosh.
That would have been insane. But there's your abbreviated version of AM on the FM. I appreciate all the interaction on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys text line.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Plus, dive into some more NFL draft notes next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through The Fan. We're going to talk with Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones in just a minute. In the meantime, I wanted to go back through some other NFL draft stuff. Well, obviously, we've talked a lot about the Cowboys. Shador has come up, but there are some other things from the draft I think we both kind of want to get into.
Oh, absolutely. There are lots of things that we could look at that could be real, real strong, real weak. And I think one of the strongest things that I saw from this draft, Kevin, was the amount of trenches that were picked in this one very early, defensive linemen and offensive linemen. I was very excited about that because that means that it was pushing down running backs. that means that it was pushing down because Caleb Johnson didn't even get selected. So, like, that was, we were expecting him to be gone, maybe a fourth running back in this draft. And now here you are on day two with some work that you get to do, and you know that there are running backs there. Do you chase the run, or do you be patient a little bit more and say, okay, we're going to get our wide receiver. Maybe Jalen Knoll is the option for us.
All right, we've got Stephen Jones ready to roll with us right now on 105.3 The Fan. Stephen, good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing good, but I'll be doing even better if you tell me that in the next 2 years, you guys will have the guts to draft two more offensive linemen named Tyler and really fill out this entire line.
That would probably be a reach and a stretch, but it's amazing how the great wall of Tyler's come together.
I love it. I love it that you're already in on that. I was curious. I don't know what you can tell us on this. Is there was rumblings that late in y'all's pick window, Houston tried trading up. Can you tell us anything about that and if that is accurate?
Yeah, we had options and certainly looked at it, but just felt like for what they were offering to move up into that spot, we preferred doing the safe thing and taking a player that we had high on our board and taking a player that we think's going to be a special guy here for the next 10, 12 years. We've obviously, he's going to be Tyler Booker, but we've had some great guards around here and for 10 and 12 years at a time, and certainly see him and Tyler Smith continuing in that path.
If a team theoretically was going to drop from like 12 to 25, would you want a second and a fourth? Is that kind of what the price looks like?
I mean, I think you need at least a second and a fourth and probably more like a second and a third, a late third.
I like that kind of negotiation, Stephen.
Yeah.
We can negotiate it right here.
Okay.
Unfortunately,
so
that one's in the past.
Okay.
Negotiating a different one here tonight.
Well, and speaking of that, the word is, and I would love your thoughts on this, that you guys have more than 12 names in mind for the second round and y'all have the 12th pick. Could you find yourself in another scenario? I know it depends on how the board goes, where you are willing to trade back again or trade back.
Yeah, we certainly always consider it. And, we have 10 picks, which is, certainly a nice number to have. And, we're in a mode now where we are into taking those picks and getting depth. And, we feel like we've really done our homework on this draft and feel like we can get players throughout this draft. So we're fired up about that. And it's the right deal. We're there. And we still had a handful of players left on the board that we liked. We'd certainly consider it. But at the same time, if we are narrowing it down and, think that the right guy's there, we're certainly not afraid to take the pick either.
We're starting to see, or we're getting our opportunity, Stephen, to see the passion, the intensity of Tyler Booker. Is that, or what we're seeing right now, is that what you guys saw when y'all had the interviews with him, when y'all met him, that this dude has this type of passion for the game?
Absolutely. He's got those type of intangibles. That's why the more we had him, he brings a lot more, although that's a front and center of being a great football player in the SEC and certainly playing at a dominant type level. But his football character, his leadership, what he'll bring to that room, is something that's hard to measure. And certainly you're seeing it with him. It's real. It's not something that he's putting on a show out there. He plays that way. He feels that way. He leads that way. And that's why we felt like he was the right guy for us. And certainly when you're in the NFC East where you're going against some great tackles, you've got to really make sure that you match up, because we're going to see, six games every year where they got dominant type tackles, and for them not to be able to move him around now to avoid Tyler Smith or that type of thing's a big deal for us. So they'll have to pick their poison, as we said, between one of the two Tylers in terms of the interior line. And that's what we're up against every year, and we really wanted to solidify that and think we have now with Tyler Booker.
Yeah, I don't want this to sound as a negative, but it did kind of, we heard leadership a lot about him. Was there question of the leadership that was already there with your offensive line, and you were like, we need to kind of bolster that some more?
Well, anytime you lose two Hall of Fame players in Tyron Smith and Zach Martin, you know, you're going to feel it. I mean, you're going to fill a void. We're talking about two guys who are going to be wearing gold jackets. And certainly it was their room, and everybody looked up to him. And I think Tyler Smith is certainly stepping up, and I certainly see here with his play style that goes into his leadership and football character. I certainly see Tyler Booker fitting into that role as well early and often. And not to mention the fact we've got another, you know, we've got three other great young guys and Terrence Steele and BB and Tyler Guyton. So the room's really coming together, and we feel like in the NFC you should need that.
Is Terrence Steele, I know you just said it, is he still viewed as a younger player even though he's got a lot of experience on this offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, I think in football years, he's not 30 yet. And, you know, it's just a young offensive line that I think, you know, the very best is yet to come. And as I said, I mean, it's a matchup thing in the East. When you got six of your 17 games, you're going to, you know who they are every year, regardless.
How many first round grades did y'all have this year? I know that came up on Tuesday and y'all were like, hey, we're still finalizing it. Do you know the number that y'all had going into the draft last night?
We ended up with 13.
Are there any more first round grades available on your board?
There actually are. It just shows you how the league can see things differently. And but we, you know, we certainly have some first round grades left on our board.
Now you talked about trading down, and I get it. Talent acquisition can go any number of ways, but if you've got the 12th pick, there's still first-round grades on your board. Would there be a scenario in which you were like, hey, let's make a move up and make sure we get one of those first-round grades?
You know, it's so costly to move up, and we really like the way we put our board together. As I said, we like players throughout this draft, you know, depending on where you're picking. And, you know, we just to move up, you know, in this part of the draft, it's really expensive, and you know, we really like our draft capital, but, you know, if there was something that was just obvious, we'd never rule it out. But right now, you know, my thoughts would be we either pick a player because we think there's going to be a damn good one there, or maybe pick up an extra pick and move down a little bit.
The damn good one is something I'm all after, too.
Oh, yeah.
And that being said, Kevin and I, we were looking at it yesterday, and, you know, it seems like more running backs fell than we expected. More quarterbacks fell into the next rounds than we expected. And if there's a glut there in round two, do you say, we can go in round three for a potential running back? Or is there a specific guy that you're like, no, that's the one we want?
Well, that's what you always consider. Certainly we have grades throughout the draft in terms of the running back position, and we do think the running back position is deep in terms of what's available out there, and you can get good backs throughout this draft. So that's something we consider, but obviously you have first, second, third, fourth, right on down the line grades on all of them, and the reason you have first and second round grades on some of them and fourth on the others is you obviously feel a lot better about the ones with the higher grades.
Do you feel like the team is in a position where they need to draft a running back?
Oh, I like what we did in free agency. That's one of the things we like to accomplish in free agency is, you know, this, you know, get some guys in and feel like we did that. And so, you know, we don't really feel like we have to pick a position anywhere in terms of, you know, our depth and what goes there. That's how you, make mistakes when you just say, hey, we've got a draft for need here. I think you make mistakes that way. Certainly, don't get me wrong, it comes into everybody's pick when you're looking at players up there, but we don't feel the need to have to reach and take a player, you know, quite a bit down the line just because we need a position.
I promise I was listening to your answer. I heard your answer. I did just want to follow up. Same thing goes for a wide receiver then, where it feels like maybe there is more of a pressing need.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously, you know, we think we've got some really good receivers on this team. I think, you know, once you get past the spot where you're not getting a true number two, then, you know, I think we've got a handful of receivers that fit the, you know, three, four, you know, five, six position receiver role on our team. And I feel like there's great competition there. And we do feel like we've got a couple of receivers, you know, that could ultimately, you know, develop into that two spot. But, you know, we do feel like we've got great depth there. You know, after it gets to a certain point, we do feel like, you know, we have a lot of guys that are, you know, fit that three position down role. And I feel good about the group of receivers, feel good about the room. Obviously, we, you know, said coming into the draft, if the right guy opposite of CD that could step in and be that number two was there, we'd certainly look at it.
You know, the I always love the functionality of the business part of it, the work that goes into it. Do you come in this morning and you're like, okay, now let's reset and everything, or did you guys walk away last night going, we have some really good ideas of what we're going to do tomorrow?
Well, your board gives you your good ideas.
Good.
And we sat there and looked at it, and they're sitting right there for you to look at.
Yeah.
And we're looking at the, you know, top 15 guys left on our board, and those are our best ideas we got, I can assure you. We'll do a little looking at that and just making sure we got them right. There's nothing we're missing, and, you know, continue to respect all the work that's gone into the board that we've put up.
Kevin, that sounds like what you always say about being prepared for a test. The test is here, and now
yes.
We're good to go. The line that we heard from Tyler Booker was he loves to see the life leave their eyes as they're losing the battles against him. Is that going to become a pre-draft question from now on? How much do you like to see the opponent's life leave their eyes?
Yes, I don't think I've ever seen one that good. And certainly that's the way he plays. You flip on the tape and watch him go. He's all day, and it's every play. And he certainly plays the game that way. He certainly prepares himself that way. He certainly leads that way. And I think I did get a quick peek at a podcast with Mike on it, and I think
yes.
Mike about jumped out of his chair when he was saying that. He said, I'm totally in now. This is my guy. So you got to love it. And, of course, I know Mike has been against some great ones in this league and guys who are all day and give him fits, but I think he loved that as much as anybody.
Well, and that's something I know we get to see a version of Micah, and you guys get to see a different version of Micah too. Does he have similarities to that kind of feeling about football and about the game?
Oh, absolutely. He's I promise you, when Micah lines up the first play, and by the fourth quarter, they're starting to say, "When is this guy going to quit?" Because he keeps coming. And I think Mike is at his best in the third and fourth quarter. And, you know, when he continues to come at him, and, you know, that's what you're looking for in these guys, just relentless competitiveness. And that's ultimately, you get that type of guy. You get 53 of those guys. You get 22 starters like that. You're going to certainly get your team to where it needs to be.
Talk with Stephen Jones right here on The Fan. On Tuesday in the pre-draft presser, Jerry said, we're looking at two things that could happen before or after the draft, two pretty substantive trades, been working on that. Are those two things in play? Did any of those go off the board based on what happened in round one yesterday?
No, I think those are things that could still be there after the draft. Sometimes those things have a way of sticking around. You know, sometimes they don't. But, you know, we're always looking at ways to acquire players. Certainly trades are one of them. Certainly this draft is a huge player acquisition part of any season. And then you got the post-free agency, and you got trades and things of that nature that we'll continue to look at to improve our football team.
And I know in the pre-draft presser, too, that Jerry was discussing, hey, I want Brian Schottenheimer to be right there involved in it all. I want him hollering if he has to. Was there any hollering necessary? Was there any standing up on the table and arguing necessary yesterday, and you feel like there might be today?
No, I think, well, there was some hollering. it was, we were fired up, but I don't think there was any question who our guy was when it came to that 12th pick. We were all fired up that he was there. Certainly we give ourselves every opportunity to make sure that, you know, make sure there wasn't a trade there that was too good to be true. But it was a complete consensus on who our players should be yesterday.
Is it safe to assume then when pick number 12 came up that Tyler Booker was your best player available at that point?
At that point, he was definitely our best player on the board.
All right, excellent. Thank you very much for the insight. We're looking forward to the draft this evening, and we will catch up with you again soon.
Sounds great, guys. Great being on with you.
Have fun, man.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan.
I think this is a fun time just in general for sports fans, for football fans. Like this should be a fun process. And the fun does sometimes come from arguing about it, too. You know, being just as upset as you are happy about it.
Man, that the part of the conversation that he dove into way more than I thought he would was the question about Houston trying to move up to pick 12. And I said, are you looking for at least a second and a fourth in that scenario? And his answer, I think that gives you great insight into how those negotiations went. Because we talked
We wanted a second and third.
Yeah.
And you know what? That was yesterday. So let's negotiate now.
Yeah. And so just the idea of, you know, we talked about before the draft, would there be kind of more discounting of the assets, for lack of a better description, because maybe people weren't super enamored with this draft. And so if you go off the Rich Hill version of the trade chart, you're moving more towards a second and a fourth. I know the Jimmy one would have it closer to second and a third, but his answer right there of, I think you're talking at least a second and a fourth, probably more like a second and a third. That sounds like maybe they were just being offered a second or something like that, or a second and a day three pick.
Yeah.
He's like, nah.
Yeah, we want more. And hey, look, man, when you're in that position of power, you are trying to squeeze something out of people. You know, they're coming to you. That's why Jerry likes that, right? That's why he likes the phone to ring, not to pick up the phone and call, because that means they're coming to you with hat in hand asking you questions.
Yeah.
And so that's what they're trying to aim at.
And that's where I will admit, I don't get the texts like this. He goes, some of these answers like really piss me off, or there's no content to them. If you're just done with listening to the Cowboys or listening to the Jones family, like, I get it. Nothing that's going to be said is going to change your mind about that. But in terms of the content, I was really fascinated by his ability to go into kind of what those negotiations look like. The fact that the two substantive things that Jerry talked about on Tuesday are still in play and probably more likely don't involve draft capital, and we'll see play out afterwards, and that Tyler was definitely their best player available, and that they have multiple first round grade players still available today, and what some of the pitfalls of them trying to trade up would be. Like, just from an informational standpoint, I took a lot out of that, but I understand some of the bias that people have going into it. I have that all the time.
From the 3-2-1, I'm disappointed Corey didn't say go get Cowboys. And you know what? I do, it is Boch's. That's just for Boch, Kevin. So I want to kind of try and keep that strong.
Okay.
And then somebody said from the 469, have fun, man, like he's your son. That's awesome. Yeah. Hey, man, we talk to him all the time. I want him to have fun with this draft. Everybody should. Everybody should be having fun with this draft. Again, whether you're upset or not, that's the part of the fun.
Now, speaking of the part of the fun, we want to talk about the rest of the NFL draft, but I think every time we go back and talk about the NFL draft, we need to go back to April 24th, 1994. We need to go back to the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
And what they thought. Well, just take it away. You've heard this, hopefully.
One question, Bill. A lot of criticism about not taking a quarterback here. Your response?
Well, you know, we got a guy up there. Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way? I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. In my knowledge of him, he's never ever put on a jock strap. He's never been a coach. He's never been a scout. He's never been an administrator. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take. We don't have to take anybody that Mel Kiper says we have to take. Mel Kiper has no more credentials to do what he's doing than my neighbor, and my neighbor's a postman, and he doesn't even have season tickets to the NFL.
Oh, man.
So what's amazing is that video at the time, whoever was producing had the genius idea of interspersing cuts of Mel Kiper reacting in that. Like, you could see how pissed he is. And then after the fact, and I didn't ask for this one, but I'm sure you've heard it, Mel Kiper fires back. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, guess what? That's why you're drafting at the top of the draft every single year, because you have no idea what you're doing.
Dang.
And like, it was just, I just love that cut so very, very much.
Listen, man, you know, there have been times we've taken shots at Mel Kiper for sure. The Casey Clawson moment is probably still my favorite moment where he put Jimmy Clawson. Yeah, Casey had already gone. And he was like, hey, look, you got to get this guy. Well, I can't believe that people aren't drafting this guy. And then he turned out to be terrible. But that happens. The guys miss on things all the time. Guys get things right.
The guy he was pushing for was Trent Dilfer.
In that draft?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
So
he's a Super Bowl champion.
They did take Marshall Faulk, which he was okay with, but it was the Trev Alberts pick over Trent Dilfer that just set Mel Kiper off.
But a lot of these guys, this has become, look, Mel Kiper was the only one at one time.
Yeah.
And now how many do you think we have every year? We have 7 or 8 just on our station.
Yeah.
Just on our, like last night, go listen tonight. Again, fantastic coverage. On my drive in, Kevin, I felt so prepared for the draft as I was driving over to Pluckers last night. I was like, I got this. I'm listening to these dudes. I know exactly what's going on. But yeah, you never played the game. You don't know what you're talking about. I can watch the game and see what's good and bad. And you can tell the difference and you can help out a little bit. And that's why, Kevin, there's always such a power struggle between coaches and scouting departments and GMs, because everybody wants their own little power and their own little say.
Now, with a lot of moving parts yesterday, eventually, because we got the Travis Hunter trade or the 2-for-5 trade, and then not a lot for a really long time, which I like because it was moving everything along. But the Texans, the Houston Texans, big day for Reggie. They have 2 picks in the second round, 3 in the third round, and they also have 2 picks in the second and third round next year.
Okay.
Now, which is fascinating because they were like trying to trade up to pick 12 with the Cowboys, and instead they're like, the hell with it. Let's just get out of this stupid first round, because maybe they had no more first round grades. But yeah, so they have 5 picks today.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look forward to next year, 2 in the second, 2 in the third. Also looking forward to next year, the Rams and the Browns now both have double first round picks next year. Think about it. We made it all the way till the day of the draft this year, and everybody had all of their picks. That's already done for next year. It cannot happen. It's already done.
And Kevin, there was a moment.
Oh.
During that interview where you were still on camera whenever you asked Stephen Jones a certain question.
Look.
And you did not seem to care for that question.
Hey.
For that answer.
Look, I told you, I like that he brought us a lot of content. I also do not always agree with his answers.
We like our running backs. That we like the ones that we got in the offseason.
About running back is infuriating to me.
Or it's a nice slow play, you know, as you're trying to set up. Hey, I don't want to give anything away that I really want Caleb Johnson today.
And that's fine if that's what's really happening. My concern is
they really like
it. Yes. And I'm like, okay, so you took 2 running backs who aren't good enough to be a starter anymore. You can't combine their strengths into 1 running back that's fine.
If we build the Great Wall of Tyler, we can.
Maybe you can. And that, look. You know what? It's funny that you say that, because if you go back to Tuesday, and I disagreed with Jerry when he said this on Tuesday, he said, we do not think that running back was as big of a problem as everybody else.
They thought, listen, man,
I disagree.
Last year, Kevin, the Derrick Henry argument, and then it did wind up, we don't think our offensive line is that good.
Yes.
Like that ultimately, Zach Martin is coming to an end here. We didn't expect that to happen. We're not as good, you know, yet with some of these young offensive linemen. We're taking a big hit here. But they were committed to that was the idea, that they just didn't quite have the offensive line as much as the running back. But that being said, now that you've built the offensive line, you've got it pretty much squared away that you want it to be. Now it's time to put a productive back there that can be a game breaker. Like that would be if I'm Schottenheimer, that's what I'm standing up in the room and saying.
Yes. And by the way, for the people that are asking, I don't think it's ETN. If that's it, I don't like that either. Breece Hall, I'm more willing to see how that plays out. But with the with Williams, with Sanders, if they were going to go get ETN, I don't love it.
There's a glut of running backs remaining right now. Yes. You had two Ohio State running backs that you feel happy and comfortable going with either one of those. That's it right there. So they're feeling pretty good about today.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, NFL Draft. Overreaction or reality? I think you guys are going to dig this one next on The Fan.